now, as you've been hearing, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, NIAC, has recommended limiting the use of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine to the over 60s due to reports of a number of blood clots in younger patients. The group has told the Department of Health that those under 60 who have received one dose of the vaccine and suffer with high-risk conditions should receive their second dose after 12 weeks as scheduled. However, NIAC recommended that those who are under 60 without high-risk medical conditions have their second dose extended to 16 weeks to allow for further investigation into the matter. To discuss this further, I'm joined by NSGP Dr. Maura Finn. Dr. Maura Finn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good, and good to talk to you. This whole AstraZeneca thing, there's been one thing, Dr. Maura, one thing after another, and surely it must be leading to some confusion.
Oh, it is. You know, and I suppose we are the people that people are coming to look for advice on this. I spent a long consultation speaking to a young woman yesterday, giving advice that has now become null and void because of what's happened with the latest NIAC guidelines. So it's very hard to stay on top of this. It's confusing for everybody, and I absolutely understand why the public are probably becoming a little bit jaded by the whole thing. The only thing I'll say is that vaccination programs have to be safe. That is the most important thing. You're giving healthy people a vaccination to protect them from potential disease, so they have to be safe. I believe NIAC's approach is cautious. I believe, personally, I think it's extremely cautious. I was surprised that the restriction was over 60. But I also believe that they are making decisions for the public safety. Now, that has to be balanced with the fact that we obviously, from an international and national point of view, we want to see these vaccines rolled out. We want to be able to open up our country again. And this advice has to have a detrimental effect on the vaccine rollout. And we all are probably taking a big sigh and go, oh God, how much longer do we have to wait now? And that is the reality, because the supply of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines have been slower than we had anticipated.
People will be asking this morning, you know, I've had my first dose, depending on the age group you're in as well. People who have had their first dose in various age groups, what are the implications for them? Can they still get the second dose? What's the story as far as you understand it?
Well, as far as I understand, well, first of all, if they've had their first dose and they're fine, that's great. You know, this event is incredibly rare, and it doesn't appear to be a normal clotting event like the DVT we talk about in the leg or in the lung that can happen post-surgical procedures and on certain medication, and actually can happen quite frequently with COVID itself. So we're talking about an incredibly rare event, and we are talking, if anybody has had their first dose and they feel fine, that's good. They just park that. That's fine. They're okay. And we know that there has been none of this adverse event seen in Ireland. So anybody who's had a dose really should be glad, I think, in retrospect, that they managed to get a dose, because, you know, anybody who was vaccinated yesterday or over the weekend, you're going, great, at least they had the vaccine, because now everybody's going to be delayed. That would be how I would look at it. Now, however, the advice has been given that the AstraZeneca vaccine has always been considered to provide quite a lot of cover, a good amount of immunity with one dose only. And the second dose is necessary, but it's a booster dose. So that's why there was a delay, this 12-week delay between the first and second dose, mainly to increase the number of people in a country that have been vaccinated, so to increase the rollout. So the 12-week delay was always set in place. The way I understand it right now is that anybody who is particularly vulnerable, as in has an underlying condition that would put them in a position where they're more vulnerable to COVID, are still following that 12-week program. People who have not got an underlying condition, so would be healthcare workers or frontline workers who would be vaccinated without having any other medical concern, they've asked to delay those only, in my understanding, only to wait for further information, because this is incredibly fluid, Pat. Like, like I say, what I told somebody yesterday and what I'm telling people today are different. So they are hoping, and the more information that we have out there, the more advice we can give, but they're just delaying it for another 4 weeks, and that's my understanding at the moment.
Yes, that the patient you spoke to yesterday was getting the information directly from the doctor. Reading the papers or listening to the radio is not clear for them, so at least your patient can rest assured, and those in the same situation as well. You mentioned DVT, deep vein thrombosis. When I hear of that, I think of long-haul flights, and I'm just trying to think now, I don't think we'll be flying for a while yet, but we all wear these special stockings when we're going on long-haul flights. You know, if I got AstraZeneca, I'd be very concerned about it. But is this something that arose during the test, that there were some issues with clots, or has this just transpired much later?
Oh, it's much later. This hasn't done. And actually, it's only because there has been so many doses. I think there's been 340 million. I might be wrong about my numbers, but some huge amount of AstraZeneca given. And to my knowledge, there's just been over 200 cases of this. You know, so if you roll something out in that to that enormous extent, there is going to be some concern. And I've said this before, that every medication, every treatment we have has a known complication and side effect. You take a paracetamol, there is a potential side effect with that. So this risk is minuscule, but it's there. And what NIAC are trying to do, and what the government are trying to do, is protect people. And I, the logic behind limiting it to not giving it to people under the age of 60 is because, well, this is why I was a bit surprised. I would have thought they would have said restricted to people under the age of 40, maybe, because anybody below the age of 40, really, COVID is less commonly acquired, very often asymptomatic. Very few of them have serious consequences of COVID. Now, there is obviously the consequence of maybe long COVID, which in itself we'll be figuring out over the next couple of years. Why would you vaccinate them with something that we know has this tiny, tiny, tiny minuscule risk when they have quite a low risk of developing complications of COVID as well? So it's that risk-benefit balance that they're trying to reach, whereas people over the age of 40, 50, 60, when they get COVID, they are in a much more vulnerable position, be they have underlying conditions or not. So that's why they have to find that balance. And it's a very, very difficult balance to reach.
Yes.
And the one thing I would say to reassure people is that, to be honest, you know, I would think that they should be incredibly reassured that we are being overly cautious. You know, it's all the advice is about making sure people are safe, at the detriment of rolling out the vaccine quickly.
That's, I suppose, some consolation, particularly since a medical professional is saying it, and many people have been saying it, and even on the news this morning, Taoiseach Tánaiste Éilí of Radcliffe said he'd have no issue taking it. They're erring on the side of caution. They're being overly cautious, but that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. And you know, we have to remember that vaccine programs, this is, you know, COVID obviously is out on everybody's mind at the moment, and there's a scramble for vaccines at the moment. But immunization programs are the biggest public health development over the last few decades, and we need to protect them as a concept as well. And they're international programs. We're talking about vaccinating babies, we're talking about flu vaccines, we're talking about hepatitis vaccines, all these things. And if we do anything that actually interferes with the public's perception of how safe these vaccine programs are, that may have a detrimental effect for a long time.
Yes.
So I actually, you know, as a huge advocate of vaccines, and I think I probably go on about it a bit much, but I really think it's incredibly important. From the HPV vaccine, remember lovely Laura Brennan working on that behalf, you know, we need to make sure people have confidence in vaccines. So over-caution is, I would think, preferable to taking any risk and interfering with how people would perceive the vaccine programs and their safety.
I think you said before you'd have no issue yourself. Did you tell Gavin you don't no issue taking the AstraZeneca? Does that stand?
Absolutely. No, yeah, I would have no issue at all. I'm not over 60. but no, I wouldn't. And my girls are too young to be offered any vaccine at the moment. But if they were offered an AstraZeneca vaccine, I'd be very happy for them to take it, because the risk is minuscule, and I do believe that as a as a country, we really want to see the vaccine program rolled out so we can actually see this mythical herd immunity mm-hmm. that we all want to happen, and the opening up of the country. So, you know, that does stand, but the thing as it stands right now, it's not going to be offered to the majority of us. There's a very small amount of people between 60 and 69 who will be offered it. And we'll be waiting again and scrambling, waiting for Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to come, which has been what has delayed the rollout up until now. We are waiting for our supply for this week of Pfizer vaccines to give second doses to our over 70s and first doses to our over 70s. And we're hoping to get a certain number, but we're not sure. And this is what's happened all along. And that, again, is nobody's fault. It's an international situation, but it's very frustrating.
As a matter of interest, what vaccines are GPs administering and who is administering AstraZeneca?
Well, at the moment, because there has always been this restriction since the start of the rollout with the AstraZeneca, AstraZeneca has not been given to over 70s because of a concern, which seems to have been ill-placed, I have to say, but there was a concern that it wasn't as effective in over 70s. There was no safety concern, but they were afraid that it wasn't actually going to produce as strong as immune response as you would like. So GPs across the country have not had an AstraZeneca in their practice at all, because we've only been doing over 70s vaccines. So we have been using either Moderna or Pfizer. In my practice, it's been Pfizer up until now.
Yes.
So the AstraZeneca vaccines have been given in these big vaccination centres that have been trying to catch frontline workers and people who had underlying conditions. So the likes of, I think it's the Radisson and Limerick, and you know, there's these centres around the country.
Yes.
So they've been the ones using the AstraZeneca up until now.
Okay. What about the pressure on the rollout now overall? I think someone was saying earlier on the news to give the HSE a time to prepare a model on the effect of this. Do you think it's going to have a significant impact on the rollout targets that we were all looking forward to being met?
I think it will. Now, the positive of it is that AstraZeneca was going to be, no matter what, was going to be two doses 3 months apart, okay? So mm-hmm. the 12 weeks. So there would have been, if we were using the amount of AstraZeneca that was predicted, the time for people to have two doses, to have completed their vaccination program, was going to be delayed. If we manage, now this would be, my hope would be, if we manage to increase our Pfizer or Moderna or even the Johnson & Johnson supply so that we make up the shortfall with AstraZeneca, we may actually finish our vaccination program with two doses quicker than we would have with the AstraZeneca. Do you understand
yes,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
there?
Yeah.
Because there's only a 4-week delay between the two doses with the Pfizer and Moderna. So there may be a plus, but that completely depends on the supply.
On supply, of course. And that has been the other big issue and the big concern. Yeah. And that could fall flat in its face any time. I think we're predicting and hoping and all of that. In relation then to those people, Dr. Morfin, who would have gone to the Radisson or should have gone to the Radisson today for their vaccine. We don't know how many from Clare. I think it's 600 people in total from the Radisson. It's great to have that particular centre, but are there fears now that the centre due to open in Ennis might be at risk because there mightn't be the vaccine for those patients?
I'd imagine there may be an issue, because one other thing is that the AstraZeneca vaccine is a far easier vaccine to handle and store and can be stored for longer periods of time. So it actually made kind of a rolling clinic an easier thing to do, as opposed to the types of clinics we have to run in the surgery where they have to be really tightly managed from a time perspective. So I imagine it could cause a problem. However, we are completely overworked, we always are.
Yes.
But, you know, I know that GPs would step up and do more if we could, you know, so if the supply was there. But I'd imagine logistically, to be honest, this is going to be a problem for those types of clinics. I also feel really sorry for people who are going for their vaccine today, because, you know, it's such a joyous thing to know that you're vaccinated and they're being denied that. I understand why. I do feel really sorry for them. And now they don't know when they're going to be called. And these are people who obviously are vulnerable because they have been on the
list.
Call list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very finally, Dr. Mora, a message on WhatsApp. Hi, Pat. My special needs daughter, age 31, got her first dose of AZ. She was very sick after it. Does she have to get the second dose, or can she get a different one? Martin.
Martin, I can see your concern there. And I mean, a lot of people will have an immune response to a vaccine, and you will have flu-like illness or temperature. That's perfectly normal, and that just means that your body's reacting and not something to be distressed about. If your daughter hasn't had any serious issue, headaches in particular would be the issue that we'd worry about now, she's of no concern. And she would probably be in the cohort that would they would advise the second vaccine in 12 weeks. Obviously, nobody's ever forced to take a vaccine, so that, you know, you can revisit that. And I would suggest that we may have an awful lot more information by the time that situation comes up in 12 weeks' time. As far as taking a second, a different type of vaccine, that's a really tricky question because...
No tests have been done on mixing them, I presume.
Yeah, exactly. And as well, you might be talking about two completely different types of,
yes.
you know, an RNA vaccine and an adenovirus-based vaccine. You will see that the pharmaceutical companies that make these vaccines will not stand over a situation where they're mixing vaccines because they, you know, they will say, well, you know, my product was developed to be taken in this way and
yeah.
you've done it a different way. So I can imagine that legally that would actually...
No one will take the chance,
situation.
Presumably. No one will take the chance.
I know they're doing research on it in some countries, but it's a tricky situation and I certainly wouldn't be advising it.